Yes, who makes introductions here? Should we just... Introduce ourselves individually? Okay. I'm Bill Holbrook. I draw Kevin and Kel, which is now the longest running webcomic. Started in 1995 and has been daily ever since.
Hi, I'm John Lotshaw. I do Accidental Centaurs, and I'm also the assistant on the classic strip Nancy. And next.
I'm Jenny Breeden. I do the webcomic called The Devil's Panties.
Hi, I'm Carrie Tupper. I am the baby of this group. Our webcomic just launched a month ago. It's called Kamikaze. You can find it at kamikazeanimated.com.
I'm Hunter Kressel, and Mac destroyed my inner child. I do a comic since 2003 called Vexar, which is... three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. More on that later.
Spoilers.
Hi, I'm Comfort Love, and this is my husband,
Adam Withers, and we are the husband and wife action faction behind the Uniques Tales anthology series, and Rainbow in the Dark.
We've been doing this since 2008. By 2009, it was our full-time job.
Well, we have a pretty good range of experience here. Thought we'd start out with talking about one of the differences between webcomics and newspaper comics, and that with webcomics, there's almost instantaneous fan reaction. So, yes, for good or bad, and we could just wonder if we could break the ice by talking about our best and worst experiences with fans. Who wants to start?
Online or physically or emotionally, spiritually?
It covers a wide range, doesn't it?
Yeah. The best thing about doing a webcomic is that you have a complete, you have a direct interaction with the readers. And the worst part about doing a webcomic is you have direct interaction with the readers. I know that XKCD will post a comic and then he'll wait 30 seconds. And if he has made any mistakes in the comic, he will be notified immediately and he will change them. What's frustrating is that sometimes if there's a mistake or a change, somebody will politely notify you, and then somebody else will politely notify you, and then somebody else will polite, and it's really hard to say.
And they don't think they're the first to catch it.
Oh yeah, hey, did you notice that? Oh, yes,
or
yes.
Hey, stupid.
No, I got that.
No apostrophe in it's. Yeah, I know. I heard the song. Yes, yeah. I know.
Word crimes.
Since we're so new with Kamikaze, we haven't really had a horrible fan interaction yet, but I'm sure we will. I'm absolutely sure
we
will.
It's out there waiting for you.
I think the worst we ever had was on one of our Facebook forums. Somebody took issue with the fact that our main character is named Markeisha, and she's a person of color, and they just didn't like that idea. But I managed to fight that off by telling them, Markeisha is actually the name of somebody I grew up with, so ha. I think our best was actually this today. We had the character design panel that we worked on with my team, Havana and Alan. And actually, this guy right here in the red shirt, you better stand up. Yeah, stand up. This jerk made me cry.
Busted.
He said that
in,
I have
in a good way or bad?
In a good way, because okay. He said that we had presented the best character design panel he'd ever seen. And he's been to like all sorts of places. So thank you.
Way to set that up.
That's so embarrassing.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I'm an artist. I should know that, right?
Instant feedback.
I think for us, one of our favorite things is the impact we have on other fans. We were just at Otakon, which is out in Baltimore, and it's a fantastic show, but we had a few fans of ours come up to us and tell them that they're now making their own webcomic because of us. and they started crying.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's our experience is a little different because our books we publish online, but they're in a traditional issue chapter model. So rather than releasing a page a day or a few pages a week, we release all at once in these big bulk dumps. But we were one of the early wave of comics to do digital releases at a time when, and the most interesting interaction, one of the more interesting that I can remember, is sitting and talking with comics professionals explaining, this is what we're going to do. We're going to publish our comics online, and having every one of them tell us that it's madness because nobody would ever want to read a comic digitally. I want to feel it in my hands and smell the paper. And I'm like, nobody under 25 gives a crap about smelling the paper.
Just the ink.
Yeah. And now everybody does. So it was interesting to be the ones out there trying to do that when nobody yet really understood what it was we were trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, you didn't have a negative interaction, did you?
I think that's there's plenty of times when it's a, you know, you can have a negative reaction, but I'd say every time you have something negative, try and find a way to spin it into a positive reaction. Like, you know, we have a character in one of our comics that uses the word, like, you're so gay. And people are like, whoa, what does that mean? You know, is that a really bad thing? And we have to go through and explain who that person is and why they do it, and that other characters don't do that and why. So you're always trying to say, here's the intention, and help me correct your impact for what it is. So you can diffuse a lot of situations rather than letting them spiral into infinity.
How do you follow that? It's actually a really good point. I really don't have any negative interactions. And I don't mean that in a bragging way. I have a lot of interactions. I have several that are my favorite. But I think part of it is that my comic's very whimsical. And so, there, you know, I'm not really taking a lot of risks in terms of character or story as far as offending somebody. So, you know, I get the grammar Nazis and stuff, but I have one favorite experience and then an ongoing favorite experience. My favorite is that there's a research reactor in Australia that now uses two of my comics to adorn their instruction manuals. One of them is a cautionary tale about walking over the pool. Love that one. But my ongoing is there is somebody, and they may be, Lord, that's loud, because the problem with this, you can hear my voice, it's awful. This person may be in this room for all I know, but somebody keeps updating hourly the TV Tropes page of Vexar on TV Tropes. The guy is hardcore in a way that I am not, and I'm drawing the comic. You know, and it has become, there are many times when I have sort of been in a continuity crossroads, and I've been like, oh, I bet he's archived it on TV Tropes. Good, sure enough.
Yeah.
So, there are times when I've been sort of despairing, and I will just go to TV Tropes, and he gets me right here, and I find the joy to go on and do the comic the next day. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I only have my most negative experience introduced me to the term trigger warning. About 10 years ago, I had a character killed off in Kevin and Kel.
Danielle,
yes. And a reader on the Kevin and Kel mailing list had recently lost a close family member. And that affected this person deeply, and other people who were friends of her in real life immediately launched a firestorm on the Kevin and Kel mailing list that pretty much lasted the better part of 2 or 3 years.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah,
firestorm isn't the word.
Yeah.
Thermonuclear detonation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ongoing, yeah. For 3 years.
Yeah.
That's more like,
yeah.
It.
Yeah. It settled down after a while.
And it kept getting reignited by one person.
Yeah.
Kept,
yeah.
Wouldn't stop wasting the night.
Yeah. But on that note, next topic, anyone?
You win.
Good,
yeah.
Good,
you
good
win.
Experience. Good experience.
Yeah. Yeah. A good experience was that I met two of my publishers through email, one of which is to my left. And the other was David Allen, who launched Plan 9 in 1996. Just emailing me out of the blue, asking if there were any Kevin Akell books available. There weren't, but he made them happen. So that was a positive. Next is a more nuts and bolts question, is that what platform do we use to put our work on the web? In my case, a gentleman named Chris Kohler has created the coding for the Kevin Akell website. He did this from scratch. He's brilliant, and Kevin Akell would be a very different form if it weren't for him. So I'm deeply grateful for him. But that was specific code written specifically for Kevin Akell. I know everyone else probably has different other options.
Comic Press tweaked by husband.
WordPress tweaked by husband. Inkblot.
I have WordPress, but I use a different plugin called Webcomic, which is kind of a competitor.
Yeah. The dreadful interface coded by me. Actually, I had a reader who built an archive for me, and it worked so well that there's an end day coming with that archive because of a date shortcoming, and I know the year and time when it will fail, and that day
Y2K?
Comes.
You mean like Y2K?
It's kind of like Y2K. It's the same sort of error that's built into
2036?
It. 2036? I don't want to say. I want to leave that as a surprise. On that day, every character aboard the starship will die of food poisoning.
Oh.
And that's canon.
What we have right now is we just have a regular website and we put things out, CBZs and PDFs through Indie Planet. But what we are working on is doing a WordPress website, which our friend is putting together for us. I think a thing to think about with this is that all comics everywhere are becoming web comics. It's no longer this niche genre, it's no longer just strips. Every comic you read at this point in time will be a webcomic, no matter what.
Something we had to work out early on is because we're using the full issue model rather than the strip model, we determined that a shotgun approach was probably best and would release our book absolutely everywhere that would carry it. And I would recommend to anybody who's looking at doing things in a full issue model, any place you can get that book is where
right.
you want that book
the
to be.
The collections, too.
Yeah. The more places that it is sold, the more places it can be found, and the more eyes can come across it.
And another thing to quick say is get your book set so you have a lot to work with and a lot to release at the start, rather than doing one page and hoping you'll get the next one done fast enough.
Dead air.
Yep.
Next subject.
Crossovers. One of the things we can do with as webcomics is crossover with other webcomics. One of the first ones I experienced was in 2000 when Pete Abrams was about to become a new father. A bunch of us congregated in Myrtle Beach at a beach house in South Carolina and hammered out a 2 or 3 week storyline of Sluggy Freelance, which would enable Pete to take time off while he had his wife gave birth to their first daughter. And that created the Sluggy Freelance Scooby-Doo parody. I don't know if many of you remember that. But that was one of the best and most effective crossovers I ever had, because there's about 5 web cartoonists who participated in that, and we all saw immediate leaps in our readership as everyone's readership discovered each other. I just wonder if anyone else on the panel had experiences like that.
Yeah, we did an anthology back in 2010.
Yeah, because we're incredibly anally retentive about the universes we create, we don't reach outside for crossovers much. But we crossed over with other creators, inviting them to do stories inside our universe. And it was a really interesting experience to see these different takes, to invite them to throw them a loose plot concept and then see what they came back at us with.
And ostensibly, it does the same thing that doing a full-on crossover does, is because the other creator is saying to their fan base, look, I'm working on this other project, and here's the link to it. And so you're still getting that cross-promotion, even though you might not be having the actual storylines do that crossover.
And for us and for our story, the world that we're building with the Uniques is much bigger than the main story that we're telling in the central book, and the anthology is a way of telling some of those other tales and doing more with some of the side characters that we just wouldn't be able to work with if we were restricted right. to the core series.
I will quick say that the great thing about webcomics is that you have so many options at your fingertips, and really what you need to do is figure out what's right for you and why.
I'm going to pull a number out of my ass. 2003, I think. I think Randy Mulholland of Something Positive might have done a call for Christmas comics so he could go see his family. And so I sent in a comic for that. I think it was PG and Aubrey throwing reindeer poop at priests. it's holidays, and I'm still getting traffic from that. Wow, math, 11 mm-hmm. years ago.
Yeah.
I did a crossover about 2006, I think it was, with a strip called The Watch.
What? Excuse me.
2005.
All right, I stand corrected. 2005. Are you the ones doing my TV Tropes page, by the way? No, I'm joking. I'm joking. 2005. Thank you very much. With a strip called The Watch, and we found a way to really make the characters work together, the storylines be able to fit together, and I picked up my readership spiked. To about 4,000 readers a day. It was at about 1,000, and then when the spike was over, I kept about half of those people. So, that was a really great way of introducing the strip to new people, and they picked it up and then continued. So yeah, it's a lot of work, but cartooning is a very solitary art. And it was really nice to do something collaborative, which we normally don't get a chance to do. But it also meant that I had to interact with people, so that was the downside of it. But it was a fantastic experience, and it'd be great to do something like that again. I don't know how I can fit it in, but it would be nice. So.
One of the misconceptions about webcomics is that there's no money in it. The truth is that there is some money in it, just not a whole lot. And each of us has our own different kind of revenue stream, different combinations of revenue streams. Kevin and Kel is mainly supported by the patron model, which I stole from public broadcasting, in which you sign up at different levels and get different premiums. But everyone's different, and everyone has different combinations of things, because each audience is different for each webcomic.
You first. I'm still making.
Oh no! You're right. I have to be the lead in for the master of this. Yeah. I do publishing. I do books. They are available at down in the comics room, table 44. That's my main revenue stream from this. I do cartooning full time, just not Accidental Centaurs. I get revenue from Nancy and a few other projects that are going on right now. But that's the thing, is to try to what you said about putting your book in as many places as possible. I do sales directly on my site. I do them on Comixology, Drive Through Comics. Any place that I can put my books, it may only be a couple of dollars a month that come in, but that was a couple of dollars that I didn't have, and that adds up. Small trickles, many trickles a mighty river makes eventually, and the idea is to get as many of these small trickles coming in as you can it will add up to sizable cash eventually. And if you don't put it out there, it's not going to get sold. It's not. There's no way that, because they're not going to come and ask you for it unless you put it out there and make it available for sale. So that was really good advice. Get it out there in as many places as you can.
There was a great article written some years ago around the concept of 1,000 true fans. And it defines a true fan as somebody who will purchase anything you release at a dollar number of 50 or less. So anything you put out, as long as it's 50 bucks or less, they will buy it, no questions asked. And if you can get 1,000 of these people, then you're set. That's all, because whenever things start getting dry, release a new $10 thingamajig or another $20 whatsamahoozle. So what you're trying to do in terms of building revenue streams, you're trying to make yourself and your product, your comic, accessible, while recognizing that the real product you're selling is not, in fact, your comic, but you yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right. People buy our stuff, yes, because it looks great and it reads great, but they buy it because we are an adorable husband and wife duo.
Oh. Oh. I was going to add a corollary to that, and I'd forgotten where I picked it up, but it's not my idea. That of that 1,000 hardcore mm-hmm. fans, you can count on for every 1,000 readers you have, no more than one will be a hardcore fan.
Yeah.
So that number starts to tick up somewhere between 10,000 and 30,000. Mm-hmm. But I was going to ask, as far as publishing books, because this has been somewhat of a quandary for me, and I'm moving forward on that now, but how did you publish, and how did you make that decision?
Well, I've done a little bit of everything. I've done Lulu. I do have books on Lulu. Mm-hmm. Lulu is a good way to do it. I've done digital short-run printing, which is basically a big honking laser printer that costs about $100,000 that you go to somebody and they'll print them out. Yeah, that's what they cost. Fortunately, I don't have to pay for that laser printer. I just, have the books run off on it. And there are lots of service bureaus. Either you can either work locally or are other companies around that will do them for you. You can get color, black and white, saddle stitch, perfect bound, and runs as small as 25 and runs as high as 5,000 if you really want to. It just depends on what's your budget, what your needs are.
I think what it's important to do is figure out what you can afford and when and who your fan base is and how, or if you have enough of them to buy something.
Right.
For instance, we did print on demand for years and years. And that's great because you can print out, say, 50, and you bring them to the show, and they cost about, say, like, for our other trades that we had, our old trades, they cost about $12 to $15, and we sell them for $20. Now, that was great, but it wasn't a lot of profit.
And you can't widely distribute because distributors require 60% of the cover price for themselves.
Right.
So at that turnaround for print on demand, you're losing. We could sell 1 million copies. We could be the highest selling comic in the history of the medium, and we'd lose money end over end.
So what you need to do is you need to build up your fan base to the point that you're ready to go ahead and do that big offset run. Like our uniques, we sold it last year for $45 because it cost $35 to print.
Oh, wow.
This year we can sell Rainbow in the Dark for $25 because we ran out 2,000 copies and the cost went from $35 a copy to $5. But I had to have $10,000 out of pocket to do that.
Yes. And we had to know that those were going to get sold.
How long until you guys were able to do that? Because I know it took me 6 years.
It's
going to take a while to get to that point.
Yeah. 5 years mm-hmm. for us.
Sorry to interrupt the panel. It looks like somebody lost a badge. So can you guys check up under your seats and...
Badges?
Okay. Badges. We kind of need some badges.
We need badges.
We need badges.
We do need badges.
Oh, I'm sorry. They lost their badger. That makes it somewhat less comfortable. I'm sorry.
Check your ankles if there's any animals hanging off of them at the moment.
That was in UHF, wasn't it?
Nobody found it? Okay,
badgers. Turtles. Nature suction cup.
So as everybody moves out, eventually probably just look around your space and stuff like that to make sure that there might not be any other badges.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Sorry, I'm motioning somebody else.
Audience questions.
Oh, well, no. We haven't answered the basic. Sorry, husband.
He's got a list.
We're trying. We need more sign language.
Do you need some paper to write on, Mr. Girl? Do you need some paper to write on?
Oh, no. I'm good. But how do you make money in webcomics? So I have a list.
Yes,
and I kind of wanted to ask him pointers on this one, too. I used to do merchandise, and that's the whole merchandise thing, is making sure, and you gotta write it down, because you're like, wow, I made so much money from this one thing, but it cost so much more to produce it, and oh my god, I'm losing my shirt. Or, hey, this thing's selling, so I'll get 1,000 of them, and now I'm living in my garage with 1,000.
Nobody said accounting was going to be involved.
Yeah. Oh,
no.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
I know.
Turns out this
I
is
liked
actually
your thumb drive
job.
Idea.
Yeah.
That's a thumb. She's
sorry.
Done.
Spit went the wrong way.
That's a thing with you.
Read that.
Okay. She also has Kickstarter, and that's a whole itself. Advertising, merchandise, Amazon referrals, digital books. Am I reading the rest of this?
Sure.
Okay. And also adverts with Google Ad add-ons and publish on CreateSpace.
Awesome. And I like CreateSpace.
And Patreon. One of the ones that I actually want to suggest, because we're so new, we're not really at this point yet. So one of the things that we've actually done is we have embraced the Dogecoin community. Do any of you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay, some of you. All right. For anybody who doesn't know what Dogecoin is sort of like Bitcoin, but with Shibs. with Shiba Inus. It's kind of like Bitcoin. But my husband would be the person to talk to about that stuff.
Do they breed?
Actually, in a way, they kind of do, because they'll just randomly tip you stuff. Like, it's like random donations that they just give you.
Yes.
And it's like... They like your comic, and they're like, here, have $3, and I'm like, oh, thanks. And
anything? That music tipping thing?
No.
Well, yeah, and I was going to say I just put a donate button through PayPal, and that's actually.
It's kind of like that, but
works pretty well
because it's such a niche community, and because they're so ridiculously passionate. That if you and they're so small. That anytime they're even, acknowledged in a lot of cases, they'll just glom onto it.
So that's what happened to all the Amiga people.
Honestly, you'd have to ask my husband. He's the one that's been selling me on Dogecoin forever, and I was like, okay, whatever, we'll just add it. And then people started giving us money.
And before any former Amiga people get
so
mad,
magical.
I had an Amiga. So
it also should be said, since we're here right now, and it brings a lot of what we've been talking about together, conventions are a hugely important part of advertising revenue and finding those hardcore fans. Because all of the hardest core fans that we have came from conventions. In this digital age where everybody is so disconnected from each other, the impact of a physical handshake and talking to a real human being, even just for a few minutes, is infinitely more powerful than anything somebody might happen across online. So as many conventions as you can get to. For a while, we were doing 20 conventions a year. And then realized we didn't know where we were when we woke up in the morning. And we had to have time to keep making comics. So
we cut it down to 15. But I would say that, to think about when you do conventions, it's not just thinking like, oh, well, I'll be in Dragon Con next year. No, start small. There's a lot of little anime shows.
So
and
don't
like
do
colleges that are free. Yeah.
Well, you don't have to dive into the deep end immediately. Most communities have a number of small conventions really close to where you're at that you can start doing very cheaply just to start getting the word out about what you're doing.
And
I make more at those at the small conventions than I do at the big conventions. I do San Diego Comic Con. It cost me $3,000 to get to San Diego Comic Con. I make $3,700 at San Diego. And then I go to a college convention, and it cost me $30 of gas money. And they put me up on a couch, and I'm bumming continental breakfast off of people, and I make $1,000 at the college convention. That's all profit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
it's bizarre.
And then get on a panel too, because then you get to sit up in front of people and mention that your website is at www.accidentalcentaurs.com and that your books are for sale at table 44 in the comics.
We'll get to that all at the end.
And this is segued into the next theme, which is promotion.
Jenny?
So I called it something naughty, so that when people had that list of 1,000 webcomics that they have, it stands out. It's something that when, don't make the title difficult. When you're sitting there going, oh my God, it's that comic about the guys in college, and the one plays the video games, and the other one, you know, so.
Yeah, that narrows it down, thanks.
Yeah. And then I stole this idea from Girl Genius, that on the back of all of my flyers, you know, so because of Facebook, we put it up on Facebook, the comics on Facebook, there's the like button. At the end of the month, we can go through and see which comics are popular, which ones are funny and which are not, which I don't know, because they all seem kind of weird to me. And we took the funny ones and we printed them off as flyers, and on the back of it we said $5 off of book one. And so it changes book one from a $20 book to a $15 book, and they're like, oh yeah, I'll try this out, and then they come back later, give them a little hit, they can check it out, they come back later and said that was funny. Always have your URL, don't make it difficult for somebody to find you. Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, we've got an aggregate that goes ahead and posts them all on there automatically, so that when, and always put your URL on the comic, because nowadays people are like, this is funny, I want to share it with my friends, and they don't really know the difference between advertising and stealing.
Yeah. That's how a bunch of comics end up on Tumblr, but you have no idea who did them. And then you get people like really ticked off about, oh my God, you didn't put the, you know, creator's stuff on there. And it's actually quite frustrating as a creator finding, you know, your artwork on Tumblr and no link. You know, you'll have like 15,000 notes and you're like, whoa, that's my work, and I didn't get any credit.
Well, and make sure that, I know they can crop it, but most people won't go to that trouble. Make sure that your URL, your name, and all that is on each individual work of art.
The image itself.
Yeah, so if that's part of my template. I start my comic with my window pane that has the URL and the date, and if I'm lucky, I remember to change the date at the beginning of each year. But, yeah, so unless you want to just really go in and crop. Also, I do that nasty thing where I let my word balloons expand out to the frame, so it's like, well, you can't crop it, or you're going to lose the word Android, and then who's happy? So, I don't think I've ever used the word Android in my comic, not once.
I know what you're doing tonight.
Do it tomorrow.
There you go. Oh.
And if any of you read my comic, you'd get that joke.
When deciding on a URL, go and test any of your options to make sure they're not dangerously similar to other websites that already exist. If you're putting together a comic that's like an homage to 80s arcade classic Bad Dudes about a couple of rough guys running around beating people with pipes, it might be cute to call it guysswingingpipes.com, but that might... Be careful, is what I'm saying. Clever is fun.
On the other hand, that might be another way of getting a whole new audience. Yeah.
This is true. But you know what? That's a beautiful... I'm going to take that 100% more seriously than it deserves and say that you never want to disappoint people who find you. If anybody comes to you, like all the advertising, all the promotion work, all the brilliant marketing schemes in the world will do nothing if people don't love your comic when they get there. Quality is the number one thing that you can possibly do. It's the best advertisement for your book, is to have an awesome book that people want to talk about with each other.
What consistency? That seems to be a selling point. If you're going to say you're going to post twice a week or once a week, post twice a week or once a week without fail. Because as soon as you miss an update, you start losing those fans, those readers that you have been scraping and pulling together for years. So even if it's in the back of an envelope with a Sharpie drawing going, I'm drunk.
I remember that one.
Yeah. That was a Claremont. That was a
drunk. You know, one of the most powerful things about, well, both newspaper comics and web comics, any kind of comic strips, is that readers get into a habit, that they know when to expect your strip, whether it's 7 days a week, 3 days a week, weekly, monthly. If you can establish a reader habit, that's a large part of the battle. But they have to know when that's going to happen, and they just have to be in a mode where they can know, yeah, it's going to be there then. Whether it's, like I said, weekly or monthly, daily, doesn't matter, as long as it's when they expect it. So how often do we all update here?
We update once a week. We're hoping to get that mm-hmm. to twice a week, but with mm-hmm. our current art quality, that's mm-hmm. just insane. Mm-hmm. So,
the creator of the webcomic Dresden Kodak said it very well when he said, "Quality is the most important thing, and it won't matter if you miss a date occasionally, as long as it's worth waiting for." We write our books together, we draw them together, we color them together, we letter them together, and that full production takes about 2 months to do a 28 to 30 page issue.
Right, and that's a big issue even for just general comics. Mm-hmm. But this goes back to, too, having a big backlog. We're about to start releasing, I think, 2 to 3 times a week, and here's why we can do that. At this point in time, we have well over 1,000 pages under us. So we could be slow and have a slow month, and that's fine because we have backlog. So before you start, get a lot under you.
Maybe not 1,000.
Maybe not 1,000.
Some.
Yeah.
I update some. 7 days a week.
You're insane.
My poor husband.
Hats off to you, Jenny.
You've got the list.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was waiting for you.
Oh. I used to update.
I would. You took an arrow to the knee?
Well, I when I do update, it's 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Right now, I'm kind of on a hiatus in order to do that, build up the backlog. Because it is an overall story. It's not a gag-a-day strip. I've got the story all set. And my readers have kind of gotten used to these hiatuses in order for me to get my backlog built up, because they know that I have other work and things like that. The thing is, if you do have to do that, keep them up to date. Let them know what's going on. Give them updates. Maybe throw a little cartoon, a little, like, something on the back of an envelope or something every now and then, to let them know you're still alive. The last thing you want is comments that show up and say, "Is John still alive?"
Yeah.
I had a friend call me. She was like, "Are you all right?" And I said, "Yeah, why?" Yeah. "You didn't update today. I thought you died." It's amazing.
Now, if that happened with Bill, I would know he was
dead.
Yeah. But your readers, like you said, quality will, if they like it, they'll keep coming back, and they can live with a few bumps in the road. Try not to take advantage of that, like I have. But also keep them informed so that they know that you are working on it, that you're not just abandoning them, but you're actually trying to get product put together for them to enjoy.
What if you're abandoning them?
It's amazing.
Screw them and the horse they rode in.
Exactly.
On.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's amazing what it'll catch on. I was doing kind of filler comics for the weekend, and every other weekend would be a cat doing something silly, or the weekend after that would be like, "What not say in the bedroom" in a black panel with like, uh-oh.
I like that. That's not funny at all.
I definitely didn't want to do that, but the husband said I should. And I had people coming up going, "Oh my God, those are my favorite ones."
Those are.
And I'm going, "Seriously?" And so what's fantastic about CreateSpace is that they were like, "Oh, you should totally put a book together like that." And I was like, "Oh, screw you people, you're not going to buy it." And so I threw together a little book of all just the cat comics, or all just the whatnot save comics, and oh my God, they sell so well.
Well, you could almost tack that on to some of the good fan interactions. It's amazing the comics that you put out there, because you're trying to be diligent and you just feel like it's not your best work, and then you get these really positive emails about it.
I did a Brony joke. I don't.
Shame on you.
But I got so many. It says that is really funny. And I don't even know why this was funny. Somebody said this, and asked, "Well, what would be funny?" And he said, "Okay, fine. Well, if you say it's funny, that's then."
I'll stick my neck out and say, as a comedy writer, and I mean that, as a comedy writer, not about comics. Sometimes when you think you're phoning it in, what you're actually doing is cutting through all the sort of intellectual BS that clutters the forefront of your mind, and you're actually getting to the base of what makes you as a person funny to begin with. And you live in that world when you're at McDonald's, when you're talking to your friends, when you're talking to your mom. So it's not funny to you anymore, but it's the essence of why people like you and like what you write.
Yeah. See, but I know nothing about My Little Pony. I know nothing.
It was you that they laughed at, and I'm serious.
Hopefully, laughing with me.
Little Column A, Little Column B. Yeah.
You're able to call one of your characters a bitch.
Yeah, that was the joke. Yeah. That was the joke.
Now I get it.
Well,
but anyway, moving on.
One more topic before we get to Q&A, and that concerns the future. Where are webcomics going? Where are newspaper comics going? And are they converging? I think we mentioned at the top of the panel that in the future there wouldn't be the difference. There would just be comics from now on. There wouldn't be any difference. Because all newspaper comics will go online and the division between them will pretty much vanish.
Mm-hmm.
So where are webcomics going?
I think webcomics are going to be the norm.
Yeah. Just like most entertainment, it's moving onto the internet and it's moving with speed. As the proliferation of tablet technology grows, as their quality increases and their price decreases, and like the internet itself, it starts to become a necessity to daily life. There was a time where having a smartphone was like something for rich douchebags to brag about. And now you almost can't, there's a lot of jobs you cannot do without having one, and that's only going to increase with time. So once you've got a device that you have to have on you at all times that can keep your entire comics library on it, that simply, I'm already finding fewer and fewer reasons to bother buying physical copies of things. And that's going to continue further and further. And the younger people are, the less attached they are to physical things, and the more they only care about the content and the entertainment value per dollar spent. So once that generational crossover happens, and is only going to increase exponentially onward.
Well, I have two things to add to that. I may be a little less rosy. One is, I don't think there's going to be much of a distinction between newspaper comics and web comics because the future for newspapers is not good.
No, it is.
And
print is dead. That's the truth.
Behind the scenes in newspaper, there are things that will work against their translation to online. They don't want to go there, and there are. I've worked with a newspaper, and it's a nightmare. I think rather than meet the future and become a part of the future, the newspapers are going to die. And it's not going to be out of necessity or economic reasons. It's because there are, it's not political, but there is an old guard behind the newspapers that's preventing them from saving themselves. And I'm watching it happen in my own state. And it happens every day. The other thing is, I think there's a piece missing that none of us can imagine because it hasn't come along yet. I do believe we're going to be online, but I think that like newspapers aggregate webcomics, and not in the same way, but I think there is another aggregate that is going to pop up that none of us can imagine or even think of here at this panel that is going to be maybe not the middleman, but sort of the capsule in which the webcomics appear. I don't know what form that's going to take, but I just kind of, the way it is now, we're all going it alone, and we're doing the best we can to really promote ourselves. I don't think that we're going to go back to like a King Feature Syndicate where we're all, you know, under one banner and they take a percentage of it. There's something else, you know, whether it's like Tumblr-like or whether it's Facebook-like, I don't know, but it's going to facilitate our getting together with similar comics, or you can take a bunch of random comics that meet a certain demographic and collect them in this way, and it will broaden the audience that each and every one of them gets. No idea what that is, but I just suspect there's something.
There have been attempts at things like that.
Right.
Like, for example, Keen Spot. The problem with something like Keen Spot was it was attempting to be too broad. It was attempting to be more like a general syndicate like United Features or Universal or King Features, where you would have all of these different, have all kinds of different, well, you were on King Spot, weren't you?
You're the last one.
Yeah, you turn out the lights. You turn off the lights and put the key under the door. Under the door.
But I didn't know coding. They coded it for me and sent me a
Well, yeah. And so I think what is going to happen is you're going to see some. Another problem that webcomics have, or web cartoonists have, is in order to monetize their product, which is the intellectual property, there's a million different things in a million different places that have got to, they've all got to, there's no one central hub from which it can all be pushed out to in order to generate product and push people to that.
You feel like there's something missing. I don't know what it is. I'm even suggesting I know what it is.
Most of it is that you've got a bunch of artists who have to be business-minded.
Yeah.
Which is really slow. Hard. That's what our significant others is for.
Yeah.
Well, what if your significant other is
all? Oh. You guys.
We got no help.
No, we make this happen. We make this happen.
Children. Then you have to have children.
Yeah. There you go.
They got those little hands.
Get in that computer, boy. Go on.
The thing to remember, you guys, is that the market is always changing. Always. What is the norm now will not be the norm in 3 years. What is the norm in 3 years will not be the norm in 3 years after that. You have to move with this wave. Don't fight it.
One of the biggest problems that I see comics having is the same problem that so many industries have. I call it a Napoleon problem, because somebody comes along who's like, I hate this system, it doesn't work, there's a new way we can do things, follow me, guys, and as soon as everybody lines up, he turns into exactly the thing that he was fighting against. Mm-hmm. You know, Let's all break away from the publishing system, because we don't need them anymore, and the way we'll prove it is, I'm going to set up this new publishing thing that's going to look exactly like all those other guys work. It's the Napoleon problem. The future is a wave, and we are standing on the beach. And you can watch that wave coming and try to build your little sand wall and think, I'm going to be fine, because check out this sweet wall. But it will take you away. Instead of trying to build a wall to protect yourself against the future, get a surfboard and ride it to wherever the hell it's going. You have to focus on what's next, not what's now.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to just say one thing about a project I have coming out that I've collaborated with John with. It's and with my wife Terry, who is a mystery writer. The three of us have created what we're calling an interactive novella, where Terry has written all the text, I've done all the drawing, and John put it all together into something we're going to be selling on the Apple Store in a month or so. It's now being beta tested, and we're really excited about it, because we're taking a new approach to words and pictures. You come by our table and I'll give you a demonstration in the morning.
Is that
45? Yes. Table 43.
All I have to say is shut up and take my money.
Yeah. So do we have questions? I think we had one back there.
Ooh, we have lots.
Oh, we got questions. Oh, boy. Wait.
Yes.
We might need a line.
Catch. Yes. Wow, that's cool. I actually had something to add about the committee for comics and everything, like the next thing. Have you ever heard of Comic Rocket or Inked? Mm-hmm. They're trying to create like a community where you can track all the web comics you watch, remember the last page you saw them on, and you can follow them. And it, like, you can go in as a webcomic creator and add your own personal banners, have your own ads within that community. And it's a way that's, I've been kind of keeping an eye on them, but they've been helping create new ways to keep track of your comics and bring comics together.
What's it called again?
One of them is Comic Rocket, and the other one is Inked, like I-N-K apostrophe D.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I've not heard of either one.
It's like they're both like I think less than a year old, but like they started around the same time, and they have apps too, so they work inside your phones and tablets and everything.
Excellent.
Maybe I shouldn't have threatened to kill their puppies.
I just wanted to add that because it's something I've been seeing, like stuff being added to those, and thought other people might like them too.
That's new.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Next question. Your hand went up first.
Okay, wait. So in order to ask a question, you also have to be like athletically gifted in this.
Yes.
Well, I would never be able to answer a question.
I think
the guy in front of you can hit
the right
face.
Here, Matthew. Okay, this is a question for both John and Bill. Would you ever consider crossing Access Centaurs with with Kevin and Cal using the Great Bird Conspiracy portals as a device?
It would be difficult because we have really done a lot of world building in our two universes, and it would be difficult to incorporate both of those worlds, which are very unique.
Yeah. The watch, there just happened to be a hook that made the crossover with the watch work. So, but with Kevin and Kel, and especially as deep as I am into my story, and as deep as Bill is into his, it'd be fun to do. But I don't see it happening.
It would be like a non-canon, one-off.
Yeah. My question is, but basically, would you ever like? But do you support like Topside has like incentives and stuff like that, like do people put?
Yeah, that's Patreon programs too.
And Patreon programs, stuff like that.
Yeah, I've been doing Patreon. I really haven't been pushing it because I've been focusing on other things. It's a great idea, and actually, this is the guy who was doing the Patreon model before everybody else, before there even was a Patreon.
2001. September.
Should have patented it. So
I was wondering if I would get anyone interested that month, but people did. So.
Next question? Okay. For those of you who create with your spouse, do you tend to split your responsibilities or share them? And was it an easy transition to become partners?
I would say that we are less collaborators and more of a symbiosis.
Right, we're the two-headed hydra of comics.
We write everything together. We draw everything together on the same page within the same panels. We color everything together. We letter everything together.
Now, even that being said, though, a lot of things go back and forth. So, for instance, like whenever we're doing an issue and we're writing it, we talk about it, we figure out what's going to happen, all the major beats, some of the dialogue, and then I write the first draft, and then Adam writes the second draft, and it goes back to me, back to him, then out to our editors. And when we're drawing the pages, one of us does half the roughs, and the other does the other half of the roughs. And then when we get the pages back, it's either I do the foreground drawings and Adam does the backgrounds, or Adam does the foreground drawings and I do the backgrounds.
And
the other stuff just
very
sort of goes like that.
You find ways to divide it up, but we're effectively drawing on each other's stuff all the time.
Right.
I can also add that I work with my husband as well as another team member, Havana. We have a sort of similar situation, but mostly they're more separated out. My husband and I write together, but I do the majority of the actual writing. We'll beat it out. Havana will come in and say, hey, wait a minute, that makes no sense. And then we're like, oh, crap. So then we go back and fix. And then with the actual artwork, my husband does the rough, he does the backgrounds, I do all the ink and paints, and then Havana does all the cleans and any additional characters designs that we need. We are very unique in that we have a three-person team to make one comic, but the type of quality that we're putting out is something on the level of an animated show.
Absolutely.
So having that really high quality means that we have to have a larger team.
We had a lot of discussions. And they were, you know, the noise level stayed at discussion level. And
inside, you got lucky.
Inside, there was a lot of inside voice. And I do remember there was one that, there was a story arc that I had going. It was one theme. And he had an idea for a comment that we had about a movie that was, I think it was like for Avengers or something. So he was like, it has to go up now. And I'm like, that would break up the story arc. And we had an intense discussion for about 5 hours. And finally I said, I need a sandwich.
As one does.
And we went down in the kitchen.
And he made you a sub.
We had a sandwich. And I got the food in me. I went, intermission. We just have to put the word intermission on it. And that way it can break up the story arc without it, you know, being weird. So sometimes all you need is to stop and have a sandwich.
Find the third option.
A reason to live.
Be the
I have a question.
Yes.
hold on. Who has the...
Catchbox. I didn't want to... And I don't know if I'm stepping on anybody's toes. I just became a web person for my public library. I'm a librarian.
Ooh,
it is
nice.
Not
yay. Yay.
And that URL is, tell us, which library and how do we find it?
Yeah, it's Chestatee Regional Library in Dawson and Lumpkin Counties.
Yay.
I am assistant director. Anyway, we're revamping our team page. And seeing all these, and then seeing y'all in the comics gallery, my teens would have, they would pee in their pants. And
that's not good.
Well, they would just be so excited to see all these things, and I have found some amazing stuff. But what I was wondering is if, am I stepping on toes if I put a link on my team page to y'all's comics
so my teens can find y'all? No, we can't have free advertising.
Thank you very much.
Please, by all means.
The question I had was, you were talking about finding some of your work in various locations and not getting credit for it. Do you have ways in which you might protect your work?
Got a guy named Vinny.
Yeah, I figured.
a URL on the comic?
Yeah, it's never a bad thing when I find it in a weird place, unless there's, I don't know, child pornography or something awful associated with it. But I mean, but the point is, if somebody steals it, it's somebody who might otherwise not have seen it.
Yeah, it's a fine line between theft and distribution.
Yeah.
We had one where they had gone ahead and put, you know, lolcheeseburgers.com over my URL.
Ooh.
And somebody on the forum, because it was up on Reddit. Mm-hmm. And somebody on the Reddit forum was like, actually, this is the Devil's Panties. And we got the image, the views was like 200,000. And we were getting thousands. The runoff was still thousands. And we contacted Imgur, and we were like, hey, could you replace that image with ours? And they went, oh, it's stolen? Delete. And we...
Yeah.
We were still getting it. It was stolen, but we were still getting runoff from it. So
exactly. Keep in mind, there's no money behind the actual comic that we're producing and uploading every week. So it's not a joke. There's a fine line between distribution and theft.
Yeah.
But if you started finding, say we were producing a PDF that was for sale only,
that's different. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, but even we who produce a PDF that's for sale only, pirates are frequently demonized as a thing destroying this industry. But the truth is that pirates spend more money on the media that they pirate than normal people ever
right.
do. A British telecom advisory agency did a big study throughout the UK that found that the 20% highest pirating individuals spent 300% more money on music than people who didn't pirate music. That, in fact, the highest pirating individuals in the UK were responsible for 80% of music sales in the country. Piracy is not really the issue. Piracy is the new radio. We're transitioning into what I think of as the reward-based economy, the support-based economy. I get your thing for free, because as a 15-year-old person, I get everything for free, and you can't stop me, no matter what you do. And all you're going to do in trying is pissing off your legitimate customers by trying to swat a fly that you'll never catch. But I, as this 15-year-old, find your thing. I think it's amazing. I think it's wonderful. I tell all my friends about it. Now they're checking it out. And if I have disposable income of my own, I decide that I want to reward you for entertaining me by buying something of yours. That's what it is. I get it free because I haven't got the money to buy everything I want. And if
you check it out,
and if you please me, then I'm going to reward you with money. And there's no reason that can't function for you and not against you.
A great example of this would actually be Game of Thrones. A Game of Thrones is great, but it's one of the most pirated shows out there, period.
The most.
Yep.
And one of the things you'll notice is that the people who are pirating are also the people who are going to the HBO store and buying the t-shirts and the mugs and the necklaces and the underwear. And like all this, like really weird stuff.
Winter is coming.
This is actually, the EFF covers this topic, and it's worth, I don't know if they've actually got that on the schedule this year, but it's an incredible panel. We've had this exact same discussion. Yeah, We've had
it.
It was right before this one?
Yeah.
Well, oh my God!
So, you know, it's
ditto.
Scott!
We just got to go back in time.
Do we want to do a lightning round?
Yeah, let's do a lightning round.
Quick questions.
All right. Professions? No.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm kind of nervous now. I have this idea kind of thing, but that I've been having for a long time, but it keeps going back and forth from that to like other things. But I think that the one that keeps coming back to me is one of the best ideas because the character I'm really attached to. Do you have, like, I really want to do this one thing, but I just keep losing it for a little bit and then coming back. Do you
see how long you can do it. Well, you don't have to publish it now, but I mean, just on your own. I'm serious. Just get out a piece of paper
you
or word processor. Just start doing it and then see if you like it. Because my comic started that way. I did it just for me. And did several strips, and then I sent it to some people to ask what they thought. But the point was, I found that, one, I could do it. It was the right idea, because I did have several ideas like you. And then, two, I changed a lot of things about it, and what I wound up going with was very different than what I started, but it was still the same basic idea.
It's doing it until you have it right.
Yeah.
And
one of the best pieces of advice I ever got about that, Bill gave me, and he got it from a very, very good source.
Oh, was that Charles Schultz?
Yes.
Yes.
Which was... If you got an idea, start working with it. Do some strips, and then take a look at them. Find out what works. Most of them are going to be awful, but there's going to be maybe, if you do 50 strips, maybe 5 of them are going to be really good. Throw away the others, look at those 5, figure out what went right with those 5, and build on that.
Back up and start with that.
And then maybe the next time it'll be 10 of them that are worth keeping. But you just keep working, keep refining the ideas, and new ideas will come in, and you'll work those in.
I just wrote my next script.
Just do it.
Right here.
Yeah.
Right.
I also want to add into that is that nothing's ever finished, ever. Whenever I post something, there's always something about it that
art
I hate.
It's never
abandoned
complete.
Progress, yeah.
And you have to take that perfection and get rid of it, because you cannot be perfect 100% of the time. That's just not
going
to happen.
Most artists are going, I suck.
Yeah,
everybody else is better.
Yeah. And then you get like people that are like XKCD, which are making, you know, these little stick figures, but you know, they're making a million, you know, all this. It looks like they're making millions of dollars. But, I mean, it's like they're really, really popular, but they're stick figures, so they're not perfect. Allow yourself to fail. Failure means that you're doing something.
Yeah.
One of the most valuable skills you can develop is to relax, because nobody's ever going to like you less than you do.
Right.
And you have to let that go.
I think they're about to throw us out.
Yeah. Guys, it's 8:02. The panel is over.
Guys, thank you.
I'm so sorry that you didn't get to your question.
Where are we at? Everybody say
that.
Where you're at in
and
Artist
sorry.
Alley. We are at table 32 and 33 in Artist Alley. Come dead find center. Us. Dead center. Next.
www.vexar.com. 2 X's, 2 R's. Read it 3 times a week. Sometimes I draw it 3 times a week.
Are you at a table?
I'm not at a table. We are Kamikaze at kamikazeanimated.com.
The Devil's Panties is at table 52.
AccidentalCentaurs.com
and
at table 43 or 44.
KevinandKel.com at table 43. And I have the app that I was talking about earlier to demonstrate if you'd like to meet me outside.